Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
I hope you're enjoying being with us this morning. I want to actually take you back to the start of this year. It's hard to kind of believe that we're already in April, so I want you to try and cast your minds back, if you can, to the very start of this year. And can you remember what Andrew was speaking on? I'm not sure if it's like one of those quizzes. I used to do this with life groups sometimes, say, can anyone remember what Andrew was talking about on Sunday? And then you kind of see the blank faces and the sort of guilt of people sort of trying to think, oh, it was a really good message, but I'm just trying to remember it all. So this is even more challenging, but if you can remember back, we actually started the year and Andrew encouraged us all to actually look back and remember what God had done and to take stock of what God had brought us through. You know, because if we want to really understand all that we've gone through, because before we can actually look into the future and kind of walk into all that God has for us, we need to be reminded of his faithfulness and to be thankful for his hand on our lives. You know, it's hard to believe that we are actually a third of the way through the year. I'm kind of still at that stage at times where, you know, you're writing down the date and you're almost writing 2020 and you're like, oh my goodness, no, it's 2021, it's April. We're almost a third of the way through the year. And do you know what? For all of us, it's probably looked different from how we expected it to look. You know, but it does at the minute, it feels like there's a sense of hope in the air. You know, as spring is coming, you know, hopefully restrictions are starting to be lifted. I don't know if you saw that caravan sites are open. Andrew is delighted. We've got the caravan. We're going to be out there enjoying this amazing weather that we're definitely going to be having. But, you know, everyone's starting to think about maybe getting to meet up a little bit more. You know, there's going to be, you know, different things that are now possible. The kids are back at school, as you've heard from Sophie. She's delighted about that. The weather's starting to look better. Summer's around the corner, there could be a chance that we have some sense of normality again. And you know, I have to commend the government over here for the speed of just that whole vaccination program. And you know, I know for many people, there's a sense that, you know, that they're having confidence now about, you know, life getting normal again, particularly people out there in the world. And I felt the Lord really impressing on my heart the importance of banking the lessons that we've learned over this last season. Because, you know, we have to realize that no time is ever wasted. For some people, they might look back over the last year and they might only be able to think about all the limitations, all the things that they were not able to do. You know, but as believers, the Lord has never put your life on hold. Isn't that fantastic? Just remind yourself of that. No matter what season you're in, the Lord is never putting your life on hold. You know, and his plans and purposes for your life, they're always moving forward. And in fact, it's in those seasons of apparently very little happening. They're often the times when he is doing his greatest work. Because we're always sort of, you know, really concerned with the outward things of what's happening. You know, but we need to be mindful that trials will come in life. And it's not about what the trial is, but it's about how we respond to it. You know, do we look for the outward deliverance and things changing on the outside? Or do we see that the Lord, with his deliverance, it always starts first on the inside of us? He always starts right, you know, in our minds and in our hearts, working his good works on the inside of us. You know, there are some people who would appear to have maybe the greatest limitations on their lives. They're actually living the most free because they've been filled with that inward peace and that purpose that goes beyond anything that the world could offer. You know, recently I was reading a book by a guy called Bob Goff. He's a Christian guy and he's a lawyer and he's an author and he's into a lot of human rights things. And he was talking about how, you know, he would lecture in different universities and, you know, one very prestigious one in America, but he would also lecture in prisons. And he said that he finds the people who have their life kind of most together are the ones that are in prison because they've come to that place where they've been humbled, they've been broken, they've had to kind of, you know, see the kind of the worst of themselves, but also sort of see a way forward. And a lot of them, you know, are probably, a lot of people have found Jesus in that place and they've actually started to see that in him they find strength for the future. You know, it's those times when we don't quite have it all together that the Lord can actually come in and do his greatest work. You know, I think the fact that, you know, the progress has been made at the minute in society and, you know, we can see that in terms of the numbers with COVID and with the pandemic that are coming down, these are great signs. And, you know, we want people to be living healthy. We want people to be able to meet up again. But I felt the Lord really reminding me that, you know, our faith is not in a vaccine. Our faith is not in government decisions. Our faith is in Jesus. He is the only one who is unchanging. He is the one who knows all things, and he is the one who is above all things. You know, God doesn't want us to approach life with fear or worry or uncertainty. You know, he doesn't want us to, you know, to walk through life afraid of the next report about bad news. He wants us to live with this confidence and with his peace and assurance today. Isn't that fantastic? That's what he wants for us, just to live with peace. Like Andrew was saying at the beginning, that peace on the inside of us. You see, we are actually not like people of the world. We have to remind ourselves about that. You know, if at times you find yourself acting like people in the world, we need to just stop. I know for myself, if I just feel like I'm, you know, what I'm saying to myself or even what I'm saying in conversation with other people, it's just like what anybody else would be saying at the minute. I need to stop and think, what is going on with me? Am I believing a lie about the Lord? And I actually need to then come to the Lord and say, Lord, just help me. Why am I living in fear? Why am I feeling anxious about this? Why am I feeling uptight? What is it? Because we do belong to a different kingdom. That is the reality. Even at times if we don't feel like it, it is the reality. It's not based on our emotions. It's based on what the Lord's work in our lives. See, it tells us in John that, you know, not because you're not in this world, but I chose you out of the world. That's in John 15, verse 9. And then we see also, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is in John as well. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. And that's in John 17. And then again, it says in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's in Romans 12, verse 1. So we see the Lord is continually reminding us that we are not part of this world. We are part of his kingdom. We are part of a different reality. We might see a reality all around us, but we're part of the spiritual realm. We're part of a heavenly kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. And the Lord wants us to be mindful of that. You know, and as our church, as this church, our heart is to help you to be fully established in your true identity in Christ. We want to see you rooted and grounded in the love of God. We want to see your life transformed by his grace so that whatever happens in the world, it's not going to shake you because you are anchored to the one who cannot be shaken. You know, we read in John 17 that the Lord doesn't ask the Father to take us out of the world, but that he keeps us from the evil one. Isn't that fantastic? I was sort of thinking about that this week, and I was, you know, thinking, Jesus, you've already prayed for our safety and protection and deliverance. You know, you've already got us covered. Even before you went to the cross, that was your prayer for us, that the Lord would protect us from the evil one. Your eyes have always been fully on us. You know, and what the Lord wants us to realize that as we pass through trials and tribulations in life, he is actually strengthening us and he is preparing us for greater levels of victory and success. Isn't that brilliant? That God is continually with us, that no matter what we're going through, he's always going to reuse it for our good. You know, the world talks a lot about building resilience in people because, you know, everyone in the world is aware of the fact that there's trials and there's difficult things. And people, you know, we need to go through some experiences in order for us to kind of produce that grit, that ability to stick at things and to get through. And we have to choose to keep going and not give up and not let circumstances overwhelm us. And I know what that's been like. You know, we've all got our different stories. We've all got our different journeys and we've all had different things that we've had to walk through. I know for Andrew and I, you know, in the first years of our marriage, it was walking through just that season where there was infertility and we were longing to have children and it didn't happen. And we had to learn just to keep focusing on the Lord and keep living in that hope that he is faithful and that, you know, his word is true no matter what our situation looked like. And then when it came to starting a church and pioneering something new, you know, there were so many disappointments. There were so many times when we felt like giving up. There were so many setbacks. And I remember one time No, I remember I was in here. I was actually with Sarah Jane one time, and I'm sure I remember this, but I remember just bursting into tears because I just thought, oh, what am I doing? It was another disappointment, another thing that had gone wrong. And I was laughing through my tears, saying, you know that song, I get locked down, but I get up again. And the kids have been playing, it's from a movie, I can't remember which one it was, but the kids have been playing it all the time. And I just felt like, this is the story of my life. Every time I feel like I'm getting up, I'm getting knocked down, but then I just get back up again. But you know what? I know now that the Lord was teaching me things. I know now that it wasn't his heart for me to have to go through a lot of those things, but even in those things, he was always encouraging me, strengthening me, and he was doing something deep within me. You know, and even though those trials have been difficult, they have strengthened me and they've taught me lots of things. They've taught me so many things about myself. They've taught me so many things about the Lord and so much about what he actually thinks about me. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we can struggle with, you know, and particularly if you want to lead something, you can be so often worried about what everyone else thinks about you, if people are pleased with you, if you're doing the right thing. But if you want to succeed in ministry, your focus needs to be first and foremost on what the Lord thinks about you and whether you believe that you're doing what he's calling you to do. And when you do that, everything else will fall into place. But it's about trusting him, about having your eyes completely focused on him and his goodness. You know, many people in the world today are trying to find a way to persevere through trials and challenges, and they're trying to find a way to conquer fear. You know, it's out there all the time, and you know that Andrew and I also run a business, and in the business world, people now are being taught how to be mentally tough. You know, in this research that's highlighted, there are four key components to be able to grow in this area. So people actually go and have training about how to become more mentally tough. And they've kind of, there's these four C's that help us to remember how you can become tough, you know, and you know, not feel like you're going to fall down when hurdles come against you. And these four C's, it's easy to remember because it's confidence, commitment, challenge, and control. You know, and it was interesting when Andrea and I looked into this whole thing, because we found that what was being taught had almost become second nature to us over the years through different challenges. Because what we'd realized was it wasn't that we were having to try and find these things within ourselves, but actually it was because of what the Lord had done within us. You see, we were confident and we are confident today, but it's not a confidence in our own ability. It's a confidence in who the Lord is and what he can do. You see, we can read in the Psalms and it says, though an army beseech me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Isn't that incredible that we can have confidence? Because no matter what comes against us, the Lord is there. No matter how big the army might seem, that we have the King of all kings on our sides. We have nothing to fear. You know, over the years, we have learned to have a confident expectation of the Lord's goodness. You see, when we keep our eyes fixed on him, the Lord will grow that confidence within us. He will grow that assurance and that peace when we just keep believing that he is above it all, that today you can walk into whatever is facing you with confidence and with assurance, because it's not your strength that you're doing it in, but you're doing it in the Lord's strength. You know, if we look at that second C, when it comes to commitment, it's not that we need to be committed, but we need to be reminded of the fact that he is 100% committed to us. He will never give up on us. You know, the word tells us in Joshua 1:9, it says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I know there's times that I'm walking into situations where I can start to feel afraid, where I can start to feel uncertain, where I can start to think, will I be able to cope with this? Have I got everything I need to handle this? But I just need to come back to that verse and know that I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to be afraid, because God is with me wherever I go. You know, Joshua was told that before he had to walk and the Battle of Jericho and all of that entailed. But the Lord was always setting them up, and the Lord will set you up in your life with a word, with a promise, so that whatever you have to face, you have something to hold on to. You know, when it's the next C, it talks about control. You know, for me, I have an assurance and a peace that he is in control. You know, I can have peace today because I know that whatever situation I am facing, the Lord is above it all. You know, we can read, it says that in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Isn't that a fantastic verse to hold on to today? You know, the Lord doesn't say that there's not going to be trouble, that there's not going to be trials, but he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a word for you today. If you're feeling shaken, if you're feeling uncertain, if you're feeling like, you know, everything, I don't know what's coming up. I don't know what's ahead of me. Take heart, the Lord has overcome it all and he's with you. You're never going to be alone. He's 100% committed to you. Have confidence today. And that last thing, the challenge, we know that the Lord will work everything together for our good. You know, it tells us that in Romans, and that we know all these things. God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That's in Romans 8, 28. I love that verse because I know that even at times when things seem difficult or I can't actually see the way out, or a circumstance comes against me that I think, Lord, you know, this is not what I expected. What am I supposed to do? This was not part of the plan. I think it's okay because God, you're going to turn it around. You're actually going to work it for my good. You're actually going to build strength in me. You're actually going to bring me to a greater level of success and victory in my life. So I think it's fantastic today. As believers, we can be mentally tough. You see, there's loads of people out in the world who are trying to learn this stuff, who are trying in themselves to stand strong. But we can live today with courage and boldness, not because we've learned to grit our teeth and to get through, but actually because the Lord has placed his resurrection power on the inside of us. Today, Jesus is our living hope. He's alive today and his life is flowing through us. You know, I've been taking some time to meditate on that phrase, living hope. It's so powerful. It's so easy to say, but actually, you know, do we really take the time to just to think on it, to allow it to really, you know, just take root in our spirit? A living hope. He is within us every day. I encourage you, do that this week. Just take some time. Whenever you just start to feel, you know, a bit shaken or anxious or worried or afraid, or you start to feel overwhelmed, or if life starts to feel like it's veering out of control, which at times I find my life doing, you know, just stop and remind yourself, Jesus is your living hope. He is the one who is present with you right now through his spirit. He's bringing you life and peace, and he's bringing freedom into every area of your life. You know, I just love the fact that the Lord wants us to live lives free from fear. That's his heart for us today. He wants us to enjoy life. He's created us to enjoy the life that he's given us. So how can we overcome this fear? If you're somebody who thinks, Penny, I know all of that, but there are still times that I struggle. There are still times that I feel overwhelmed. There are still times when I just feel it all crowding in on me and I don't know what to do. Then this is why I called this today, that we need to bank what the Lord has done in our lives. Because, you know, the Lord is always doing things to ensure that when trouble comes in, that we can overcome. You see, he wants us to be living above things, not being overwhelmed by them. And as a church, you've probably seen that our response over this last year has been centered on meeting your spiritual needs. And that kind of might be seem like a really obvious thing to say, but I know for other churches, maybe they felt more that they need to, you know, step out more into social action and helping in what and other ways. But I think for us, we realize that fear is your greatest enemy. Fear is the one thing that the enemy is just going to keep throwing at you time and time again. And we want to see you free from fear. And we want to not just impact your life, but we want to see those people in the world, those people that we've talked about this morning who don't know that hope. We want to see this city, this country, and this world being transformed by God's grace. And we want to have a healthy church that's living blessed and is able to reach out to those who are hurting. And those we want to share that hope that's within us. You know, as I was studying this week, I was drawn to a passage in Isaiah. And I feel it articulated what I believe the Lord's wanting to say to us about having this assurance and this certainty. You know, he wants us to bank it now. Whatever we have learned, bank it. Just like when we pay money into the bank, we see it gain an interest. And then when we need to make a withdrawal, we've got a greater resource to draw from. The Lord's saying to you now, look at what I have done in your life. Look at what I have brought you through. Look at how much you have grown. Now be mindful of this, bank it, meditate on it, and remind yourself of who I am and what I've done for you. And now your confidence and your trust will grow. And as that happens, you'll find that you worry less, you're less stressed, you're less anxious, and you're less fearful about the future. You know, I'm sure loads of you, if you thought back to a year ago and you were told of all the different things that you'd have to go through and the times you wouldn't be able to meet up with the family, the times you wouldn't be able to meet up with friends, the fact that you'd have to live at home for a year and work from an office, all the things that wouldn't be able to happen, you know, loads of you probably would have just wanted to run away, would have thought, I'm never going to be able to cope with all of that, no church for a year in person. And yet, we've actually seen the Lord doing so much. I know for me, there's so many things that, you know, in ways in which I've grown and developed because lots of things have been stripped away. But you know, too many people try not to worry. And you know, sometimes we end up focusing on the wrong things. If we're not careful, we can focus on all the things that aren't working. But we've got to turn our thinking around towards the Lord because He will always take care of us. Today, we don't need to fear the future because our identity is in Christ. We have been redeemed. Despite our failings or our past mistakes, despite the struggles we might have had and the times we've wrestled with the Lord, despite the lies that we've believed, and you know that despite our unbelief, the Lord calls us His own. We belong to the one who created it all. We've been formed by a loving Heavenly Father. You know, He shaped us, He fashioned us into being, and He has called each one of us by name. This is actually the foundation of our faith. We belong to Jesus, the King of all kings. See, these are powerful truths. We can't just hear these words and, like Andrew often says, you know, just think, oh, well, tell me something new. You know, I kind of know that it's all about my identity in Christ. This is actually the foundation of our faith. We belong to Jesus, the King of all kings. So why do we become intimidated at times by the small stuff? Why do we become overwhelmed by situations? We simply lose sight of whose we are and all that that means. You know, the Lord wants to build our faith in Him. He wants us to have confidence. The problem is, I know for myself, I like certainty. I like assurance. You know, I like to know all the answers. I like to know what's coming up ahead. But God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, He wants to lead us and He wants to guide us. Have you ever thought about why that is? You know, for many of us, if we knew what was up ahead, we would just give up. If we could see all of the obstacles and the hurdles, we'd run a mile because we'd not believe that we would have the courage to get through. You know, like I said before, during lockdown, if we'd known it all from the start, we would have just all buried our heads in the sand, wouldn't we? Because too often we approach situations from a natural perspective rather than from a supernatural perspective. You know, I know for myself, I look at my own abilities and often I just discount myself because I can't see how I'm going to make it through. But the Lord wants us to approach these things in the light of His power in us. He wants us to train ourselves to respond with eyes of faith. Remember the children of Israel and how they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? You know, people often think that, oh, God was just punishing them for disobedience. But actually, He needed to let a whole generation die out. He needed to let that unbelief die out for the next generation to be able to go and access what He had for them and to possess what He had in store for them. Because for that generation, fear held them back. Even though they were physically freed from slavery, they still had the mindset of a slave. They couldn't see themselves as God's chosen people, walking in power and strength. They couldn't see that. You know, how do you see yourself today? How do you see yourself when pressure comes? You know, do I stop and meditate on what God says about me and what He said and who He says I am? Or do I allow the situation and the circumstance just to overwhelm me? You know, last week, Andrew spoke about living from miracle to miracle. And God's heart is for us to live a blessed life. You know, if we need a miracle, yes, He'll come in and He'll give us what we need. But He just wants us to live in His blessings. And how is that going to happen? When we're assured of who we are and when we expect to see His goodness. When we're looking into our future knowing that no matter what is coming against us, we will see the goodness of God. You know, many people will walk out of this pandemic and this crisis, and before you know it, they'll be encountering another crisis. You know, I hear it in people in the world, and they kind of, you know, you know the script when they say, oh, I thought it was all getting better, but now there's this and now there's that. And whatever is the next thing in the media, that will be the next thing that's feeding them, feeding their worry, feeding their anxiety. We are called to be people of hope. Remember I said at the beginning, we're not of this world. No matter what the world throws at us, we can have a confidence that the Lord will see us through and that challenge will bring us out the other end stronger. You know, Paul tells us in Romans, but we who also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's in Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. We're called to be people of hope, to see light in dark situations. At the minute, we're getting a little bit of work done in our house. Well, I say a little bit, but they're kind of going to be basically knocking the side out of the house and knocking down garages and building a new thing. It's all kind of going a bit crazy at the minute. So at the moment, we don't have any heating. And so what we've been doing, we've been lighting the fire all the time. And one night we lit the fire, and the next morning I went to actually clean it out so it would be ready for the next night. And I thought the fire was out, but actually, what I started to realize when I got rid of all of the ash was that the coal was still on fire. The embers were still there. And I put a little bit more on and the fire started to blaze again. And I thought, oh my goodness, what I thought was completely gone, what I thought was dead, the fire, but there was no life in it. Actually, the life was still there. The fire was still lit. And it made me think, you know, that we can get spiritual pictures out of everything. But, you know, how often are our lives like this? You know, often we're just choked with the ash. And it looks burnt out. It looks like there's no life there. But God's life never leaves us. His light never goes on. It may look dead on the surface, but the embers are still glowing. You know, there is incredible unlocked potential within every one of us. The life of Christ within us. This is what we need to meditate on. You know, we can have hope today because we belong to Jesus. We have been redeemed. We've been bought by his blood. You know, we were bought at an incredible price. You know, the Lord will never overlook us. So the first reason that we can have confidence today is what I talked about at the beginning of Isaiah. We are his own. Our identity is in Christ. He has called us by name. Isn't that incredible? Now, the second reason that we can have hope today is because no matter what trials we face, they are only ever temporary. You know, if we continue to read on in Isaiah 43, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You know, look at these words. It talks about passing through the waters, passing through the rivers. Many times I know for myself, I can feel overwhelmed. And we think it's either sink or swim, and we've actually pictured ourselves drowning, you know, in the middle of a situation. And the media is talking loads at the minute about the whole subject of mental health and people feeling unable to cope. You know, that's the devil's scheme. He wants to overwhelm us. You know, he often doesn't try to do it through one major event, because in a sense that would be easy. Because if it was just one thing, then we would focus on how we could get through that. But it's often lots of little things that start to crowd in on us until we feel unable to breathe. If there was one thing, then we could find a strategy to deal with it. But when there are loads of different things, when there are multiple sources of distraction and difficulty, we start to feel overwhelmed. The devil, that's what he wants. He wants us to feel surrounded. He wants us to give up. But you see in these verses, in the picture of the fire, and yet the word promises that we will walk through. We shall not be burned. The flames will not set us ablaze. Here we're not only promised that we will be able to make it through, but it actually says that we will come through unharmed. Isn't that fantastic? You know, sometimes we think there's a trial and, oh my goodness, I might just, you know, if it's the resilience attitude, it's like grit your teeth and get through no matter what. But, you know, this whole picture that the Lord gives us in Isaiah, we actually see it proven to us in Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they are taken into captivity in Babylon and they're actually thrown into the fire by King Nebuchadnezzar. No, but the Lord preserves them. They are protected by the Lord. They're protected by his presence. Isn't that incredible? They go through the fire, but they're not burned. But that same protection is available for us today. You know, if you look at every word in those verses, there's so much of insight of the Lord's love for us and his care for us, because it actually says that we will walk through the fire. Now, I was kind of, you know, just reading over that, and it was only in studying a little bit more that I thought it actually says walk, not run. You know, if I thought I had to go through a fire, I would just be thinking, right, let's just leg it through this, like, let's just get through as quick as we can. But actually, when the Lord's with us, we don't need to panic. We don't need to be concerned or alarmed. We don't need to rush. We can walk through life. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be in a hurry. He wants us to have that trust in him, that confidence. We just can have an assurance of his peace and his presence, no matter what is going on the outside. So know today that you can have confidence and hope, because no matter what trial you face, it's only temporary, and the Lord is going to bring you through. Now, finally, the third reason you can have hope and confidence today is because the Lord is always with you and he is always at work in your life. He is always working. We don't need to plead with him to do that. He's more interested in your life than you are. You know, it says in the last part of Isaiah, I'm going to read you in Isaiah 43, 5 to 7. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. You know, the Lord is always going ahead of you to provide a way out. Even when we choose a wrong path, his grace works independent of our choices. In Isaiah, the Lord was prophesying about the exile to Babylon because of their rebellion. Yet despite their rejection of him, he's going to prepare a way for their salvation. Our hope today, it's independent of our choices and our behavior. It's not based on our goodness. It's based on his goodness. When we're unfaithful, the Lord remains faithful, and he's going to work behind the scenes of your life to bring about favor and blessing and lead you into green pastures. Isn't that fantastic news today? You know, if you look at these prophets in Isaiah and think about that fullness of grace that's been poured out, you know, how much more do we receive through Jesus? We have been redeemed by his blood and made righteous. We who've had the whole debt of sin cancelled, how much more can we fully trust and rely on his grace and saving power in our lives? You know, that is incredible hope that we have today. The Lord moving in your life, he's at work behind the scenes. That's why you can have confidence today, because he's with you. He's always with you. He's never going to leave you. And what do we do with this hope? You know, my heart in this is not only that we get encouraged, but we start to think, if this is what we have, what does the Lord want us to do with it? He wants us to share it with this world that's hopeless and afraid. You know, we've talked earlier about the mental health crisis. Many people are not going to be able to understand the fact that you can have hope, the fact that you can tell them that, you know, that today you're not worried about the future. So many people in the world, they're just crippled by fear. And, you know, they don't understand what Jesus did for them. And yet Jesus' heart is to redeem and restore all people. He came to set the captives free. There are so many people living life full of worry, full of anxiety today. So many fears. You know, there's the fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being abandoned, fear of being truly known, fear of not having enough. The list could go on. We are called to show people there is a better way to live. I know there was years when I lived, you know, just plagued by fear. And I just want to see other people no longer living in those cycles of defeat. See, when we worry, we simply overthink all the negative consequences that could possibly occur in our futures. And people become frustrated, you know, when you just tell somebody, oh, just don't worry about it, it'll be fine, because they're not given an alternative to focus on. And this is where we as believers can point people to God's word. We can show people that instead of filling their minds with negative thoughts, they can actually fill them with God's truth that will always bring life and peace. Because when we meditate, and it's actually just worrying turned on its head, we're simply thinking of the goodness of God and the truth of his word. So whenever the Lord tells us not to be afraid, he gives us a reason why. You know, if you look in the verses today where it says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. We don't need to be fearful because we are not left to navigate our way through life alone. We have the Lord leading us, guiding us, and protecting us. And what's more, we see how he's always active on our behalf. His promises, they're not weak and they're not vague. They're certain and they're sure. You know, if you look at the languages he uses, he repeats the statements, I will. He says to the children of Israel, you know, his promises are always so sure. It's affirmative action. He's going to lift them from their trials. He's going to restore to them everything that's been lost. You know, think about your own life. What were you afraid of this time last year? You know, when all the news hit that there was this lockdown and there's this pandemic, what were you thinking about? What were your fears? If you think about where you're at now, what has the Lord shown you? What has he taught you over this last year? How have you grown over this last 12 months, month by month, as you've dealt with all the uncertainty, all of the, you know, unknown, all of the fear of the future? What has the Lord been showing you? Because it's time to reflect on all of that, and it's time to bank that experience. It's time to make a deposit and say, Lord, you have brought me on. You've walked me through all this. You have been faithful. You know, we can not only stand strong in him, but he wants us to go from strength to strength. As we pass through various trials and tribulations in life, he's actually strengthening us, and he's actually preparing us for greater levels of victory and success. You know, it says in Genesis 50, verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is being done for the saving of many lives. You know, that was the story of Joseph and his brothers. But that's what the Lord does whenever the negative comes. The Lord turns it around. You know, I look at some of the positive things that have come out over this last season. You know, everyone's lives were stripped back. A lot of the busyness was taken away. And if you look at some of the positive things that came out, it is incredible. You know, think about what God's heart is. God's heart is for the family. And I think over this last year, family units have been strengthened. You know, there's lots of teenagers having to spend time with their parents. That's a good thing. Sometimes we think, well, what are we going to do with them all day? But actually, it's a good thing for kids to be at home, for kids to be spending time, for families to be together, for families to be at home. Isn't that fantastic? You know, that's God's heart for strong, healthy families. And lockdown has provided that opportunity because there hasn't been other stuff to do. It's been less time for the distractions, time for people to really prioritize, and even taking time out to be with the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. You know, we've had time to do that. It's encouragement for us to take time this week to think about what the Lord has done in this last season and to give thanks for his faithfulness, to think about what he has done and to bank it. And now, whenever we bank that, we can have confidence for the season ahead. Now that, you know, we can be mentally tough because it's not us trying to do it, it's actually him. It's his power. It's not your willpower. It's his resurrection power living on the inside of you. You know, he's your living hope today. He wants to help you be rooted in his love. That love is what we can give away to a world that is crying out for answers. You know, it tells us that we owe, you know, in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Now, I know for my life, I want to be able to share that living hope that's on the inside of me, that I am not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of uncertainty because the Lord has dealt with me. He has shown me that he is faithful. He has shown me that he is good. I want to share that with the world around me so that we can see more lives transformed by his grace.